Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you all here this morning. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we will dive into our passage. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and serve you. Lord, we ask that you would give us vision and purpose as a church, that as we see and look at your scripture, you would ignite us with passion and excitement and a renewed love of you and your word. Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would soften them, that we would not be indifferent, we would not have malice on our hearts, but that out of your love for us, we would be on mission. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do today is we are going to read through Matthew 28, verses 16 and 20. And then what we're going to do is we're going to really camp on verse 19 for a little bit. So that being said, let's dive into this passage, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What we are looking at today is primarily found in verse 19. This is a passage that many of you have heard so often that we have become numb to it. We have looked at it so often, heard it preached so often, that we think we understand it, that we think we've grasped it. I'm here to tell you that we have not fully grasped this verse, this last command that Jesus gave before he ascended into heaven. If we, not just as an individual church, but all the different local churches around our neighborhood, around our state, around our country, around our world, grasp this verse, our world and Christianity would look so different than it looks today. We're going to look first at a couple of the ways that we have a tendency to look at the Great Commission. one of the ways that people have a tendency to look at the Great Commission is we have this tendency to look at it, and at the beginning it says go. So we're like, all right, this is a passage that's specifically for missionaries. It is so much more than just for those who are called to a lifetime of overseas missions. One of us is called to missions in some way, shape, form, or another. If you are a Christian, if you love Jesus, God has called you to missions. He has called you to reach your own culture. He has called you to reach across cultural barriers. Whether it's to someone who English is a second language, or it's someone who comes from the north as opposed to coming from the south, or whether they're from the deep, deep south. I'm not talking Louisiana or Texas. I'm talking about Mexico or Puerto Rico. God has called us to reach across cultural, geographic barriers. This is not just a command for those who are going to go overseas. This is a command for all of us who are Christians, who have a relationship with Jesus. The second way that we have a tendency to look at this passage is to look at it as go and make converts. Go get people to walk the aisle, get people to be baptized, get people to do this, to do that, to convert to our culture, to say that they believe in the Bible. All of those things are good, and they are a part of what making a disciple is. But if all we do is make converts, then we are not making disciples. A disciple is one who is disciplined in the way of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are ones who follow in his example, who learn the scriptures, who obey his commands. And when they fall and fail, which we all do, it's not an excuse, it's a matter of fact. We're still held accountable in some way, shape, or form. For those of us who are Christians, we may have to suffer some of the consequences here on earth, but Jesus has paid the ultimate. He took our place, cross, and we no longer have to endure eternity in hell. But when we fail, we repent and turn away from our sin and back towards Jesus. The third way that we have a tendency to look at this verse is to say, all right, we are supposed to be building up the church. We're supposed to be building into people. And we're just really supposed to be focusing on those who are believers and focusing on getting them to grow. If you look and you listen to each one of these three different views that we have a tendency to look at the Great Commission, not a single one of them is wrong. But they're all wrong. All of them have aspects of the truth, aspects of what it is that God was pushing for, what it is that Jesus was encouraging, what he was commanding. And yet leave so much up in the air. So much to not be accounted for. I believe it's C.S. Lewis says that we should have a holy discontent. And now, all of you are saying, well, we've been studying a lot of scripture, and I'm pretty sure one of these times you've said that we're to be content, that we're to be pleased with the place that God has set us and the way that he cares for us. Yes, absolutely. There is also an aspect in which we should be discontent with our failures. We should be discontent in the fact that we know we do not know God as well as we can possibly know him. One of the things Billy Graham was known for is that he always had his Bible out. Dr. Joseph Stoll of former president of Moody Bible Institute, who I'm sure many of you heard on the radio, once did an interview with Billy Graham. He said, well, with as busy and as hectic and as chaotic as life gets for you, how do you make sure you do not miss your time of devotion? How do you make sure that you consistently get in the Word? Do you miss from time to time? And Billy Graham said, I pretty much always have an open Bible next to me. I'm not always reading it. I can be in a meeting, I can be wherever, but I try to keep an open Bible next to me because that is my source of life, the Word of God. There is so much to this verse. And I want you to be discontent with how you and I have failed to fulfill it properly. When we add those different views together of those who are going on missions, those who are focusing on evangelism, of leading people to Jesus, and those who are to be developed in Jesus. When we combine those together, we have a fuller understanding of this command. We cannot leave it as just one of those portions, because this verse applies to each and every one of your lives. Another misconception that we sometimes have when we look at this verse is we put a little bit of the emphasis on the wrong spot. Greek is a complex language, and you can find out which verb the speaker thought was to be most emphasized based on the way they conjugate verbs. And so one of the things that we look at with this is we have a tendency when we read this passage to be like, go, therefore. and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I'd like to encourage you to look at this differently. Our translations often have a tendency to try and take one Greek word for one English word, and sometimes we drop a little bit of the meaning that it has. The most emphasized verb in this is make disciples. That is the imperative, the command, the giant emphasis in this passage. And if we were to read it and expound to more than just one word for one word, it would be more of a, therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. Some of you may never leave Northwest Indiana again. I don't know what your travel plans are, and I don't know what God's plans for your life are, but just because you don't plan on leaving this area does not mean that God is not giving this to you. As you are going, every one of you is going about your business from day to day. Every one of you turns on, picks up the phone, goes to the grocery or hardware store. As I can see right now, you guys are in church. As you are going about your business, we have this tendency to look at the church in Jerusalem and think, wow, it's so incredible how many missionaries they sent out. To some extent, they were a little bit of a home buddy church. They were gathered there, they were getting together, and persecution hit and they were driven out. And as they were driven out of the city, they had built up a core in the city, invested in people, and as God moved them elsewhere, they continued the job. I don't know if any of you are called to overseas missions. I have a hunch that at least some of you are called at some point in your life to some overseas missions. But if that is not the case for you in particular, God has called you to be on mission in North Hammond. God has called you to be on mission in the city of Hammond in Northwest Indiana, extending to Whiting and Munster and Highland and everywhere that you come into contact with. God has called you to be on mission. And what is that mission? To make disciples. And part of making disciples, some of the aspects of the things that you do when you make a disciple is you bring them to a point where they are ready to be baptized to signify to the world that they have died to their sin and risen like Jesus in new life. Part of that is teaching them to obey all the commands that Jesus has given. Not some of them. Not the ones you think are the best. We don't go through the commands of Jesus. We don't go through Scripture with our scissors saying, well, I think I'll keep this. I'll keep that. I don't remember which of the founding fathers it was of the country of America. But one of them actually went through and decided, okay, I don't think that Jesus actually said this. I don't think that this is actually breathed by the word of God. So he basically cut up his Bible and created his own new Bible. That's not what disciples do. It's teaching all that he has commanded. Not those that fit with the Republican Party line. Not those that fit with the Democrat Party line. We are not disciples of a political party. We are not disciples of the founding fathers. We are not disciples of our favorite star. We are called to be and to make disciples of Jesus. He must be our highest authority. And if he is our highest authority, then we will make disciples. We will begin discipling others. I mentioned earlier that we have a tendency to wind up in one camp or the other. Either this is just for missionaries, this is just for winning people to Jesus, or this is just for growing people in Jesus. I was at this wonderful conference that I was taken to this week by one of our sister churches' pastor, and the head guy, Dr. John Rogers, I believe, for evangelism and the state. He was there and he was one of the speakers. And they would talk for a little bit and then we would get some good discussion going. And one of the things that I really walked away from is we disciple in three different ways. Disciple to, we disciple in, and we disciple with. We disciple people to Jesus. Those who do not know him, those who are not Christians, those who have not committed their lives to Jesus, we disciple them to Jesus. Once they are to Jesus, we disciple them in Jesus. We show them everything that Jesus has commanded. We show them the scripture. We help develop and encourage in them a love for scripture. And as they grow in Jesus, then we begin to disciple with them. We begin to disciple others. We begin to disciple each other. Any of you who have ever had a really good mentor relationship or a good accountability partner, you've found that one does not always disciple the other. I have a mentor that I talk with on a weekly basis, and most of the time it is him encouraging and pushing me forward and strengthening me, reminding me of what God has said. On occasion, God has allowed me to speak some even hard words into his life. You will disciple each other, and together you will walk on either side of someone who is younger and needs to be discipled and walk along with them towards Jesus. So you will disciple to Jesus, you will disciple in Jesus, and you will disciple with each other. Churches have a tendency to either do the discipling to or the discipling in. I have not seen many churches that disciple with, and I have not seen many churches that disciple both to and in. One of the strengths of Hoffman Street Baptist Church throughout the time it has been a church has been to disciple people to Jesus. This may be hard for some of you to hear, but we have not historically done a good job of discipling people in Jesus. And the evidence I want to give you for that is that we have about a 30-year age gap between our two major age sections. We have this entire generation that has gone away. And I'm sure if you looked at our membership records, both for Sunday school and for church membership, we would find a lot of people in that age group who have met Jesus here and been baptized. Each and every one of us need to disciple people in Jesus as well as to Jesus. I am calling on each and every one of you who knows Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior to take it upon yourself to disciple young Christians who have met Jesus to become disciples of Jesus. Grab them by the arm. Hey, I want to take you out for dinner. Or, hey, come over to my house for dinner. I'm going to make this. And I just want to get to know you. And be studying the scripture yourself so much that you can recognize what is a cultural disciple and what is a Jesus disciple. And teach only the commands of Jesus. God has called us to so much more than to be a baby Christian factory. He has called us to go after the meat. Yeah, sometimes we got to break it up in little tiny pieces or start with smashed peas and carrots or milk. But our goal is not to have a bunch of milk drinkers out in the pews. Our goal is to raise up leaders who are fully capable of eating steak, preparing steak, and feeding and growing young Christians to become adults. I love each of you so much that it breaks my heart to think that some of you are missing out on the blessings of discipling a younger person. And it breaks my heart even more that some of you are saying, no, I don't want any harder food. I will not be a disciple. I walked the aisle, I said the prayer, and that's good enough for me. It's not. As your pastor, as your spiritual father, I know that I'm many of your grandchildren's age. But God has called pastors to be fathers, and like a father, I want so much more for you. And as I mentioned before, have a holy discontent. Have a desire for more and have a desire that others will receive and know more of who God is. Now, before you go out making disciples, I need to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? Are you being a disciple of His? Or are you counting on fire insurance because you bought it by walking the aisle, praying the prayer, and getting dunked in a tank? That doesn't cut it. It has to be a relationship. And one of the ways that you know you have a relationship with Jesus is you are consistently being convicted of sin and challenged by the Holy Spirit to change. Not just challenged by Him, but equipped. You've got the power that Jesus had to put sin to death and to live a new life. If you don't know Jesus, I would love to share more about Him with you. He died on the cross in your place, in my place. And we should not be content that the sacrifice was made, but instead, we should be encouraged to move forward towards Jesus. This is the purpose for our being here as a church, to make disciples of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. And we should be satisfied with nothing less. If you do know Jesus and this has not been a priority, like at times it has not been enough of a priority for me, I ask that you would join me in an attitude and a response of repentance. That you would seek to disciple people to, in, and with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. That is every church's purpose. Brother Caleb is going to lead us in our invitational once we have prayed, and I would love to talk with you if you have a decision to make for Jesus or God has called you to repent. I'd love to share in the journey that Jesus is bringing you on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much. We ask that You would change and challenge our hearts and that we would be thoroughly and fully excited and passionate about making disciples of Jesus by Your Holy Spirit for Your glory. And we pray all of this in the name of the One whom we are to be disciples of, Jesus Christ. Amen.